Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Kind of foggy out there here in northeastern Ohio. It's kind of patchy. You'll find it here and there and warm and drizzly in spots. I think it was like 50-some degrees when it came in the mid to lower 50s, according to the thermometer in the car as we were coming up to the radio station today. But, December is here, and it doesn't feel like it. That's for sure. It feels like springtime out there. So it's kind of nice. But we're going to open in a word of prayer here this evening, and glad you're able to tune in and be with us tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Thank you for a nice warm day today. It might have been a bit rainy and drizzly and even foggy at times, but thank you. It's not snowy and icy out there. Lord, we do pray that you watch over those who are having to travel tonight in a little fog and rain out there. But Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. We do pray that we be a blessing, that we could be a help, and that we could be an encouragement to somebody this evening. Lord, if there's somebody that's searching, maybe the things that we talk about, you can use that in some way to help them to see that it makes sense to believe the Word of God, and that they need to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. Thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a Bible question, you can give us a call tonight, and you can call 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open, and that's a toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and welcome your call about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. That's what we talk about, and one of our mottos is, who says you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? Because I believe the Bible makes sense. It's a book that has logic to it. It's a book that's reasonable, and God gave us a mind to use. He gave us intelligence for a purpose, and as we search out the Scriptures, we can certainly find things and understand things, and we can see clearly what the Bible has to tell us, everything from our need for a Savior to how to live the Christian life to what's waiting for us in the future and what happens after we die. You know, they say the three biggest questions are, where did I come from, why am I here, and where am I going? And the Bible clearly answers all three of those questions. Where'd you come from? God created you. He created me. He created all that there is. Why are you here? You're here to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to have a relationship with him. And in order to have that relationship with him the way God created you to have it, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You cannot approach God in your own righteousness. You cannot approach God in your own strength. You need Jesus Christ. We are sinners by nature. The Bible clearly tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we have a sin nature, and therefore we sin. We don't sin enough to become sinners. We sin because we are sinners. I grew up on a small farm, and we had various animals, and amongst them, on occasion, we had some sheep, and on occasion, we had pigs. And I know one thing, a pig, no matter how much you cleaned it up, you can do what you want. You can scrub it down. You can put perfume on it. You can put a bow on its tail, and you let it go, and it'll go back into the mud, and it'll wallow around in the mud. That's because that's the nature of a pig. The pig isn't a pig because he wallows in the mud. He wallows in the mud because he's a pig, and he's different than a sheep. He's different than a goat. He's different than other animals. That's his nature, and we are not, we do not have a sin nature because we sin. We sin because we have a good or a sin nature, And we need to understand that. And that's why Christ came into the world to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to pay for our sins. And so in order to have a relationship with God, we need to trust Christ as our Savior, believing that his blood paid the price for our sin. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we can have the relationship with God that he created us to have. That's why we're here. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to fellowship with me. That's why he gave us the Bible. That's why he sent Christ into the world to die for our sins. That's why we're on the radio. And then the third question, of course, is where am I going? And the Bible answers that one very clearly as well. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, he said, I'll receive you unto myself. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that there's coming a time we're going to hear the shout and a trumpet, and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be in heaven with him, and we're going to be in his presence if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And then if we've not trusted Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we'll be deposited eventually in Revelation chapter 20. We'll be deposited into the lake of fire for all eternity. So where did I come from? Well, God created me. Why am I here? To have a relationship with God. And where am I going? Well, I'm going either to heaven or I'm going to hell, depending on my relationship with God. If you're like me and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, whether you've actively refused to or just said, well, I don't have time for it right now, or maybe I need to learn a little bit more about this. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says in the Gospel of John and chapter 3 and verse 18 that you are condemned already, not because you've done sufficient bad things, but because you've not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to touch on those things, and those are things we talk about. Those are big issues, and philosophers have spent thousands of years trying to sort out those issues. If they pick up the Bible, right there it is, and not just philosophical issues like that. We can get into other things with science, and we can get into other things with history. We can get into other things with, well, you name it. We can find it in the Bible most likely, but our program exists partly to allow you to call in with your questions, because we know oftentimes people don't understand some of the things. They just need a little help. That's why God called some to be pastors and teachers, and that's one of the reasons we're here, to help you and understand the Word of God. So you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to get you on the air tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. A lot happening in the world around us today, and we have, looks like Barb in West Virginia waiting for us, and Barb, are you there?
I am here.
Well, hello, welcome.
Oh, good. There's not a glitch on here, huh?
Well, I'm live in the studio. That does make a difference.
Oh, that'll work.
Yeah, the more wires and transistors and exchanges and connections between you,
sometimes it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Hey, there was a woman that called in the program that we're usually on, but I didn't get a chance to call in tonight. Called in and said something that I had never heard before, but I've already called my brother-in-law, who is a Baptist minister in Lexington, and he agreed with her, but I know that you know.
I don't know what the question was. So, you have
so
to finish
I thought, I'm going to ask the expert.
Well, I don't know if I'm an expert, but appreciate the compliment.
Well, I'm sure that you know, but I've never heard this before.
All right.
And she said that there are two books in Revelations. There's two. Now, that's not me saying it, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because I know it says not to take away from or add to.
Are we talking about the end of Revelation or?
No, she said she said that there was a book of life.
Right.
And there was the Lamb's book of life. And she said that was two separate books.
Hmm. Okay.
And I'm thinking, I've never heard it that way before.
Because I know in Revelation chapter 20, and verse number 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open," which implies there's at least two books. And it says books were open, and another book was open. So that would imply at least three books. Books, plural, that's two. And another book, that is at least a minimum of three. And that book, he says, which is the book of life. Okay. And of that book, the book of life, he says in verse 15, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And so at least right here in Revelation chapter 20, we've got at least three books. So
okay, run that by me again one more time.
Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. This is the final judgment. This is the great white throne judgment.
Right.
And this is where the unsaved, and just to fill in our listeners here, this is where the unsaved, those that have rejected Christ, those that never got saved, those that died in their sin, they are going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. This is a future event. And they're going to be judged, and they're going to be judged out of the things which were written in the books. That's not the book of life. The
book, it says, and the, how does it say it? And the books were open.
Yes, it says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." These books here that were opened these would be
sinners.
The books of the record of your works and things of that nature. Now, as believers, we would have stood before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and we would have been, rewarded on the basis of our good works, and because our sin was taken care of when we trusted Christ as our Savior. You know, the judgment of sin at the cross at Calvary was applied to us.
Now, but did we go before the no?
The
when
judgment
we die,
seat of Christ.
When we die, do we go before the judge?
That'd be the judgment seat of Christ, and that's not
that's
a judgment as to whether or not to go into heaven. That's a judgment for people who are already saved, who are already going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an evaluation of your works, and then that's a judgment where your reward in heaven. Degrees of reward. Okay, so it's that one's not for salvation, and in fact, this one here has nothing to do with salvation either. This one in Revelation 20, this is the Great White Throne Judgment. This one's for the unsaved people. Everybody at this judgment is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Everybody at this judgment is an unsaved person, and so they're not being judged whether or not they can get into heaven or whether they're going into the lake of fire. That judgment's already taken care of as well, because they did not avail themselves of the saving blood of Christ. And and so now these people, because they did not avail themselves of Christ's blood, of the payment that he made, because they died in their sin, they are not written in the book of life. And the book of life is there to show that they're not saved. Because there's a lot of people who will probably say, you know, like the Gospels, remember it says, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do these great things in your name?" And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lot of people who say, "Well, but Lord, yeah, I went to church. I taught a Sunday school class. I did this. I did that. I gave my money. I gave my time." And he's going to say, "Well, let's open up the book of life. You're not here. Mm. You're not in it." And the book of life shows that everybody that's cast into the lake of fire is not in that book. There's no mistakes. That's there to show there's no mistake. But the books that were open, the books plural, that's the records of their life. And that's everything that they have done. And I don't know
that's
if you've heard...
the ones that aren't saved.
Right, right.
Ooh.
And so every sin...
won't be in that one.
Yeah, every sin that they've ever committed is still recorded. Now, you and I, for having trusted Christ as our Savior, you know, the blood of Christ blots out our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used the expression before, the illustration before. When I was in the Air Force, we dealt with a lot of classified documents. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if a document was going to be declassified or released to somebody, we would it would be redacted. And redacted means you would black out the classified portions. You know, it would be blacked out so you couldn't read it. So
yeah,
you would be reading along, and you'd read a sentence or two, and then there'd be a black section
that you couldn't
see
that.
It would be gone. And then you would pick up reading again. And that's kind of like what our life is going to be when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be, well, Pastor Al got up in the morning, and redacted section here. And then Pastor Al spent some time in prayer and reading the Bible, and then, oops, redacted section here, because my sinful areas are blotted out. And the person without Christ is going to stand up there, and all those redacted portions are still there. All those sins are still visible, and they're going to be before God and them, and they'll be without excuse. That's why the Bible says at the very end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, including Satan himself.
And they'll feel it. They will feel the heat.
Oh, yeah.
They'll feel the pain. They'll feel it.
And how would you like to stand before God with your innermost secret sins exposed and nowhere to hide?
Yeah.
I mean, we get embarrassed over things, but right there before God in a company of angels and witnesses in all of our worst, most intimate secret sins on public display.
In other words, they think they're getting away with it, but they're not getting away with anything.
Right, right.
Wow.
Hope that
helps.
What
about the ones that are on the right and the ones that are on the left? What's that referring to?
That's another area there, and we're talking about some of the nations and some on the right and some on the left, and we get into a whole other area with that, too, because when you go into the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth, some nations are going to be allowed to be nations during the millennial kingdom. There are some nations, and I hope that America will be one of those nations in a fallen state, we may yet side with Israel, the Jewish people, and the believers during the tribulation. But then the nations that come against the Jewish people and the believers during the tribulation, those nations will meet an end. And there's some other applications with that, but I kind of hurrying through that a little bit. I just have to look around here and see that we got a number of callers calling in tonight,
sure.
problem to have. But appreciate your call tonight, Barb, and hope that helped. We went from one book to two books to three books tonight. But God bless. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have Tom in Akron tonight, I believe. And, Tom, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, this is Tom, Pastor Al. How you doing?
Recognize your voice. They're glad to have you tonight.
Okay, good. You know, sometimes I hold the idea of eternal security, and I always have.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I do have some doubts because I hear some pretty good preachers sometimes that, there's another end of the spectrum where, I don't have all the answers and everything, but you listen to some who teach that, that God only chooses certain people to be saved.
Right.
In Calvinism.
Yeah,
right?
And that's a false teaching. Yeah.
And also that, that there's this question that, is there something we can cross a line or something? Can we lose our salvation?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you hear people on the radio and everything.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I get the temptation to listen to them. And then, I get to worrying about things. But I got to get back into the Word and look for the Word that gives me. Can you give me one scripture that really, points us to the fact that once we are in Jesus Christ, truly been born of His Spirit, washed of His blood, that, you know, that God isn't going to throw us away. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's one passage in John chapter 10. It's my favorite passage because it's so easy and clear. And that leads me, of course, to a principle in understanding the Bible. And that principle essentially is you never use a vague or an unclear passage to reinterpret a crystal clear passage. And unfortunately, what happens is people get caught up with the Calvinistic system, or they get caught up with the Arminian system, or this system or that system,
right.
And it forces them to reinterpret very clear statements in line with their system of belief. And if you just let the Bible say what it means and mean what it says and believe it, it solves a lot of problems. Let me give you a very clear passage, John chapter 10.
Okay.
In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to his to disciples and different people that are listening to him, and he says this very clearly, starting in verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And now,
you know, I've read that passage in the past, but I just heard it. I've just heard it really for the first time tonight when you
now,
read it.
Yeah, and look at this very closely. What did Jesus say that he gives to us? Eternal life.
Eternal life.
By very definition, what is eternal life? It's life that does not end.
So once we are born, once the moment the Holy Spirit enters into our life,
right,
we are eternally.
Yeah,
his.
We have eternal life. If
we have
it could end, now think of this. Think of this. And I said earlier, the Bible is a reasonable, logical book. If our eternal life could come to an end, God would know it. He would know that we would lose our salvation. And then he would know that our eternal life came to an end, so it wasn't eternal.
Right.
But he gave us eternal life. That's one. Now, here's the next statement. And they shall never perish. Never perish is a very strong, very clear phrase that says exactly what it means. If you look it up in the Greek, it says the same thing.
Well,
you will never perish. If you could lose your salvation, you would perish, and Jesus would have been a liar. He didn't give us eternal life, and we perish. Then he says this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I heard a pastor one time when I was down in the Samoan Islands as a missionary. He was talking to somebody, and he said, well, nobody can pluck you out of God's out of the Lord's hand, but you can take yourself out of the Lord's hand. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, I'm just a man. And it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm a man. How can I be exempt from his statement that no man shall pluck me out of God's hand, out of the Lord's hand? And then he says this in verse 29 to reinforce it, my Father, which gave them me, notice what he said, is greater than all.
Yes.
Greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father one, because he is God and God is Christ and manifest in human form. But in order to pluck somebody out of God's hand, we'd have to be greater than God. I don't know about you, but I'm not greater than God.
Well, you know, I settled the issue in my heart long ago that, you know, there is nothing in me that I can do to earn salvation.
That's right. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
You know, and I think a lot of people stumble on the idea because, you know, once we truly belong to the Lord, of course the Lord wants to work in our life and grow us. And, and we are to produce works.
Oh, exactly,
but that's where the problem comes in sometimes. But we can only really produce those good works through the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Again, we can't do it in our own strength, and I think that's where we stumble. I know I've stumbled there.
Yeah, and that's where I was telling the previous caller, the judgment seat of Christ for believers is not a judgment whether or not we get into heaven. It's a judgment where because we're going to heaven, God is going to award us, he's going to reward us with responsibilities and things, because the Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ. And he is going to reward us based on our faithfulness.
Amen.
And what we've done. Unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times people hit some difficult passages that they think might have something to do with losing your salvation, and that question gets lodged in their mind, and they try to make sense of it from that aspect, and then they violate the scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 is the big one, and then also in Hebrews chapter 10, there's another one. But the Hebrews chapter 6 one is not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about people who understood the truth and rejected it. They never got saved in the first place. And,
well, he was primarily writing Hebrews to the Jewish believers.
But and that's a whole other area to get into. But he is saying that if God has opened your eyes to the truth and you know the truth and you reject it, and Hebrews chapter 10 kind of reflects the same thing. If you know what the wages of sin is and you still persist in your sin, how can you get saved if you're rejecting it? You taste it and you spit it out and you say, I don't want any of this. Well, you can't get saved. And it's impossible if you've been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, as he says, and made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You weren't saved. The Holy Ghost moved on you. You partook of him in that sense. And as a consequence, you can't get saved if you're rejecting him. And, more to it, of course, than that. But people who read that, they stumble over it. And at first blush, it seems to say you can lose your salvation. But I'd have to add this to it. And we'll have to kind of let it go at this because we're coming up on the break here. If you could lose your salvation, according to chapter 6 there, Hebrews 6, then if you lost it, you could never get saved again. But that's not what it teaches. It just teaches if you reject the gospel, you can't be saved. Hebrews chapter 10 reinforces that statement as well. Thanks for the call there. We're out of time in this segment. We've got another half hour to go. So stay with us for another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.com. latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, your Late Night Live host, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us. You can, of course, give us a call, 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in the center of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And if you're looking for an interesting, unusual, odd sort of gift, if you know somebody who collects old jewelry, old coins, old military memorabilia, or just about any old thing, including the kitchen sink, you'll probably find it at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. You can call Frank at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393, and that's Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Tell him you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, you can give us a call tonight, like I said, 888-677-9673. We'll get to our back to our phone calls, and just want to give you a note on a couple of things here real quick before we get back to our phone calls here tonight. Friday, December the 21st, everybody's worried about the Mayan apocalypse. Well, you can join us on our afternoon program, Live with Pastor Al, 1:30 right here on AM 1220, The Word. And we'll be eyewitness to the Mayan apocalypse, or I should say the lack thereof, on Friday, December the 21st, right here the program. And that's at 1:30 on Friday, December the 21st. And we're on every Friday at 1:30 till 2. And then, of course, I'm sure we'll be talking about it the following Sunday night during our 11 to midnight program. But also wanted to make mention as well, we've talked about our website, live.maplenoel.us. That's live.maplenoel.us. And it's come to our attention just recently that a lot of people are not able to view the site properly. And the reason is that Internet Explorer, I don't know why, Internet Explorer will not display our site properly. We have referenced a book that I have called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and also another book. These are ebooks that are published via Smashwords, and they're available not only at the Smashwords website, but also at the iBookstore for, I believe that's Barnes & Noble, or no, that's Apple, but it's also available at Barnes & Noble. But if you go on our website, and there's three large columns going down the middle of the page, and after the headers at the top, and the column on the right starts with want to help support Live with Pastor Al, buy one of Pastor Al's books. And you could click on one of these books, and we get a portion of the sale, and you get a book, and you help support our radio program. And then after that, there's a series of programs, our past programs, that you can actually listen to there. It says listen to a previous Live with Pastor Al program. That's both our Sunday night program and our Friday afternoon program. And that goes back from the present all the way back to the beginning of July, I think. And then there's some prayer requests. If you go to our site in Internet Explorer, none of that's visible. I don't know where it goes. I don't know why it's not showing, but Internet Explorer, which I might add, is not one of the safest internet browsers out there. If you're worried about viruses and all, you really don't want to be using Internet Explorer. It's one of the least safe browsers out there, and it's also one of the most ineffective browsers. If you're running Firefox or Chrome or Opera, or also, I looked at another one just this evening, can't think of the name of it right now, all of them show our site completely. And even on Internet Explorer, when I checked the source code that it was using, It shows the information that it's not displaying. There's nothing weird about the code. In fact, some of the code is copied from another portion on the site where it does show it. So I just want to encourage you, if you're having problems viewing our site, and if you've tried to go to our website at live.maplenoll.us and you've tried to find the books on the right, as I've mentioned several times over the last couple of, or several weeks, and you're not seeing it, it's probably because you're on Internet Explorer, and Internet Explorer just simply won't let you see it. It only shows part of the site. It's not a very effective browser, and you're also open to viruses and stuff. I would encourage you, in fact, we put a disclaimer at the top of the website that says this site is best viewed in Firefox, Chrome, or Opera, and you can click on the browser name, and you can have a free download, and you can get a safer, more effective web browser. I get no money from recommending Firefox, Chrome, or Opera. Our church gets no money from recommending Firefox, Chrome, or Opera, and the radio program gets no support for recommending Firefox, Chrome, or Opera as a free browser. What I do get from it is the knowledge that you can go online and view our website, live.maplenoll.us, and see the whole website and view it safely and effectively. If you're trying to view it in Internet Explorer, you're not going to see the whole website, and you're not going to see it safely and effectively. And so I guess if you're trying to figure out what I'm trying to say, if you want a safer, more effective internet experience, download Firefox, Chrome, or Opera for free, and then visit our website, live.maplenoll, and you will see a difference. If it's doing it to our website, don't know what it's doing to other websites out there. And I wanted to mention that because we just found this out last week. So I know people have gone to our site. In fact, that's how we found it out. Somebody was going to our site, wanted to listen to a previous program, and they could not find it. And I went online. I said, well, it's right there. And they were online with Internet Explorer, and they said, we can't find it. In fact, two people went online, and myself and another gentleman from our church. Friday night, we tested it on a computer that was running Internet Explorer, and we couldn't find it, and I knew it was there. So download Firefox, Chrome, or Opera for a safe, effective web browser, and you'll be able to see our whole site, live.maplenoll.us, and you'll be able to see the books that I've been talking about. So I guess I've harped on that long enough. I just wanted to get that out. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have John, who's been patiently waiting since before the break. John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are
Hi,
you tonight?
Good evening. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you. My question tonight is, do you believe that Jesus always knew about his preexistence, like when he was 4 or 5 years old?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't he?
Well, I just wondered if he always knew.
Oh, absolutely, because he was God, manifest in the flesh. Now, as God manifest in the flesh, he obviously did not exercise his full powers and all of that. The body of Christ was only in one place where God is omniscient, God is or omnipresent, where God is everywhere. But there's nothing that he did not know. He always knew. I think as an unborn child in the womb of Mary, he knew who he was and what he was. I once was very distressed to go to an independent Baptist church and hear a guest preacher go through a whole dramatized sort of pantomime of Jesus being in the temple at age 12, having God the Father speak to him and him going, who are you talking to? Me? And then God the Father saying, you are the Christ, and him saying, who, me? Are you sure? No, that to me was blasphemous. Jesus Christ never did not know that he was the Christ. Jesus always knew. There's never a point in time that Jesus did not know that he was the Christ.
Well, if he always knew that he was the Christ, wouldn't he have been able to perform miracles when he was a child?
He could have if he wanted to, but it wasn't his time to. The miracles that he performed, contrary to some esoteric tales of the child Jesus creating, turning clay pigeons into
right.
Real pigeons, that's fiction. That's stories that come from elsewhere, but that's not in the Bible. The miracles that Jesus performed were when he started his ministry, and they were to support his claim that he was the Christ. He knew, but people didn't know, and he did the miracles to prove who he was.
Well, couldn't he have started his ministry when he was bar mitzvahed?
He could have, but that wasn't the time.
It was.
No, his time was not until he was, you know, in his early 30s at the time. Actually, I believe it was about the same time that a young Jewish man could enter in and become a priest or become a rabbi. And that's when he began his ministry.
Who determined when his time would come?
God.
I thought you said he was God.
Yeah, that's why he determined it.
Oh, he was the one that determined when
Jesus is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's one God.
But he decided that he wouldn't start performing miracles until he was 30. Then.
Yeah, not until he entered his ministry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people call Jesus the God Man. The fact that you say that he always knew that he was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be proper to call him the God-child?
Well, I guess if you want to get technical, but the God-man refers to the incarnation. That's the mystery of godliness, the Bible says, is that God was manifest in the flesh. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says down a little bit later, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God took on human flesh.
But you could
call him, I guess, if you wanted, the God embryo, the God infant, the God toddler, the God child, the God adolescent, and the God man. But the God man simply is a term that means that he was God incarnate in human form, the mystery of godliness. That the Bible talks about. And that's all that term means.
But you don't know,
it'd be kind of silly to call him the God toddler and the God child and
But you
and
don't think
stuff.
You don't think that would be inappropriate though.
Well, I don't know why you would. And I got a number of callers, and
okay.
It's kind of a foolish thing to talk about, really.
Okay.
I mean, because he's just God manifest in the flesh, and so for that, he was 100% God, but he took on a human form, and he became 100% man.
Right.
And
but he had to be a child first.
Well, obviously, he couldn't have grown into adulthood in the normal course of events if he had not been a child. And of
right.
course, he was a toddler before that. He was an infant before that. He was an embryo before that.
Okay.
I appreciate that, John. And thank you for the call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have Rudy in Cleveland also holding on patiently. Rudy, you're on.
Rudy or Ruth?
Oh, maybe it's Ruby. I'm looking at the board here. I got to go get new glasses anyways. I have trouble focusing sometimes.
I just called to make a clarification on Revelation.
Right.
Chapter 20, verse 12.
All right.
It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the books there is referring to the Bible, the Biblos, were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. That's where the names of the saints are written.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I have no doubt
the Bible will be there. We'll be judged out of things of the Bible. Yeah,
that's where that woman got confused.
Yeah, I didn't think about that as well.
It's
yeah.
the Biblos. The books were open. That's where we're told what we're supposed to do and, you know, where the commandments are written.
Absolutely, because we're going to be judged by what the Word of God says. And you're absolutely right, and I appreciate that pointing that out. But also there will be a record of the things that we have done.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a multitude of books, the biblical
right.
books, of course, and the record of the life, and then the Book of Life, which shows that everybody that's there is not written there, so they're not saved. They're not a part of the people who are going to be in heaven.
It's my personal understanding of the Word of God that those who have never receive Jesus Christ, who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ, will be given an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior.
The problem with that is Jesus would have never needed to tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. See, a small child or somebody who's mentally disabled and cannot respond to the gospel.
People in China, or Muslims, who've never heard or understood. God is very merciful. The reason God is merciful is because
he sends us into all the world and preach the gospel. And if somebody is not saved, for what you said to be true, then John chapter 3 and verse 16 must be false. And Jesus told us in John chapter 3 and verse 16 the reason that people go into hell. The reason that people are not saved, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16, is because they've not believed. John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18 says very clearly, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I appreciate our caller and I appreciate her point about the Bible being there, but the very same Bible that I agree will be there judging these people, the very same Bible says that anybody who's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God is condemned already. A Muslim who believes that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, a Muslim says that that's a heresy to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That Muslim who believes a satanic religion, that Muslim who follows the false satanic god Allah, the moon god, that follower of a satanic religion is not going to stand before God and God say, well, you know, you believe the devil's lies and you didn't believe my book, which right here in front of us says, if you didn't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you can't be saved, you can't come into heaven, but I'm going to let you into heaven because you are sincere. That's heresy. That's heresy. And I appreciate our caller's zeal on that point, but unfortunately, I just cannot allow heresy like that to go over the airwaves. I condemn that sort of heresy as just what it is. There would be no need to go into all the world and preach the gospel, because think about this logically. I went to the Samoan Islands and I preached the gospel and we saw a church established. And let's say that while I was there, I shared the gospel with somebody who was caught up in a false religion. And all false religions are satanic religions because they're the devil's counterfeits. And what the lady was telling us is that that person was possibly going to heaven until I came and shared the gospel with them. And because I shared the gospel with them, now they're condemned for all eternity unless they get saved. If I would have stayed away and if I would have not shared the gospel with them, they would have been okay. And Hudson Taylor, who went to China and gave his life reaching the Chinese who were steeped in paganism, which is satanic in its origin and nature and in its style of worship, according to the caller, all of those pagans had a chance to go to heaven until Hudson Taylor went there and preached the gospel to them. And then because he preached the gospel to them, they were now lost unless they got saved. That's satanic heresy right there. And I'm not saying that our caller is a follower of Satan. I'm just saying that she's allowed the devil to dupe her into believing a false teaching. And that teaching is very attractive because humanly speaking, we don't like to think of people who have never heard the name of Christ being condemned to an eternity in hell because they've never gotten saved, because they never trusted Christ as their Savior. But let me point this out. Very clearly, the Bible says that when Noah got off the ark with his sons and their wives, every single human being on the face of the earth knew the truth. And then at the Tower of Babel, as people scattered, and you can see that there's a great book out there called Eternity in Their Hearts. I can't remember the name of the author, but it's Eternity in Their Heart, or In Their Hearts. You can go online, you can Google it, you can go to Amazon, find it, and read that book. It shows clearly how people who migrated into Southeast Asia clearly knew that they had the truth at one time, and their forefathers lost it. I think the guy's last name might be Richardson. And it clearly shows how they had a knowledge that they had once possessed the truth, and somewhere along the line, their forefathers had lost it. And that's why Adoniram Judson was called to go to Burma. That's why Hudson Taylor was called to go to China, because God is not willing that any should perish. That's why Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas went on their mission trips. That's why they were called out of the church there in Antioch in Acts chapter 13 to go to a pagan people. That's why Paul, when he went to Athens and he stood on Mars Hill and he said, "Listen, you're looking at all these gods and you got a marker for the unknown God and you're ignorantly worshiping him, but you're lost and you need to be saved because Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins." If our caller was correct in her assertion that those people were on their way to heaven, they became lost when he preached the gospel to them unless they then got saved. And, that type of a thought certainly kills the Great Commission. That kills the incentive to do what Jesus told us to do and go into all the world and preach the gospel. I will readily admit I probably got a little more worked up over this statement than some other statements, because I appreciate the zeal of people and the concern that people have that motivates them to think that way, but it's a satanic lie. It's a deception of the devil. Paul warned Timothy against believing doctrines of devils, and that doctrine of devils has sent more people to hell when good-meaning people, people who thought, well, they're okay, God will take care of them. No, God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wouldn't have done that if they were okay believing their satanic religion. And they're lost, they're on their way to hell because they've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Either our caller was correct or Jesus is correct. I don't know about you folks, I'm going with Jesus Christ on this one. Jesus Christ said, "They're condemned already. They don't have to get saved or unsaved. They don't have to become sinners. That person who sincerely is following Buddha, he's condemned already. That person that's ignorantly worshiping the alligator god, he's condemned already. That person that's beating his back until the blood pours out of it because he's worshiping Allah, he's condemned already. And God wants us to go there and reach him with the gospel before it's too late. They're going to die because we don't go." And that philosophy, that demonic doctrine is condemning people even to this day. Well, I'm not going to apologize for getting carried away on that one. Having been a missionary, that's something that's very close to my heart. And we just got a couple minutes left in the program, and I want to give a little bit of time to Grandma Marge, caller calling in, waiting patiently, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Are you the pastor that we met down at the Bill Federer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Actually, I met you twice. It was out in Mentor and then down in Fairlawn. And,
right.
Yes, glad to have met you there. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. You know, with our country in such peril at the present moment, our liberty is at stake. And I wish the people would concentrate on what's happening now and focus on righteousness conquering wickedness. We must get back to that. And we don't want our country to fall into peril.
Amen. That's right. I appreciate that. Well, we got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for that call, and I want to thank our callers tonight. Whether or not we agree, one thing we ought to agree on, the Bible is God's word, and we need to figure out what it has to say to us. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be in your homes tonight or on your radio, and join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hope you have a great week. Good night. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding programs